He motioned to Buford. They rode out into the road. Buford felt a certain dreamy calm. Reynolds, like Lee before him, had once commanded the point. There was a professional air to him, the teacher approaching the class, utterly in command of his subject. Reynolds said, "Now, John, he's got a good 15,000 men out there, wouldn't you say?"
"Yes. Be a lot more in a little while."
"Yes. Well, between us, we can put almost 20,000 in the field in the next half hour. We're in very good shape, I think."
"For a while," Buford said.
Reynolds nodded. He turned in his saddle, looked back toward the hills. "Isn't that lovely ground?" he said.
"I thought so."
"Keep at it, John. Someday, if you're spared, you may make a soldier."
He bowed his head once slightly. It came over Buford like a sunrise that he had just received Reynolds' greatest compliment. At that moment, it mattered very much.
"Now," Reynolds said, "let's go surprise Harry Heath."
They rode out together, placing the troops. The First Corps moved into line on the left. The 11th Corps moved in behind them, swung out to the right. Through all that, the Reb cannon were firing steadily, and smoke was filling up the hollow between the armies, and no one could see the motion of the troops. The 11th was still not in line when the new Reb attack came rolling up out of the smoke. Reynolds moved off to the left, close to the line. Buford heard music, an eerie sound like a joyful wind, began to recognize it. "The Campbells are coming." He recognized Rufus Dawes and the 6th Wisconsin moving up. More Wisconsin men behind them, deploying in line of skirmishers and firing already as they moved up, the line beginning to go fluid as the first Reb troops poured over a partly deserted crest and met the shock of waves of new troops coming up from the south. Buford got one last glimpse of Reynolds. He was out in the open, waving his hat, pointing to a grove of trees. A moment later, Buford looked that way, and the horse was barebacked. He did not believe it. He broke off and rode to see. Reynolds lay in the dirt road, the aides bending over him. When Buford got there, the thick stain had already puddled the dirt beneath his head. His eyes were open, half asleep, his face pleasant and composed, a soft smile. Buford knelt. He was dead. An aide, a young sergeant, was crying. Buford backed away. They put a blanket over him. Off to the left, there was massive firing. There was a moment of silence around them. Buford said,
"Take him out of here."
He backed off. Across the road, a woman was chasing a wild-haired child. A soldier ran past her and caught the child and gave it to her. Buford went to a great shade tree and stood in the dark for a moment. "Too good a man, Reynolds. Much too good a man." Buford wandered slowly back out into the light. It was very hot now. He could feel sweat all down his face. A detail from a New York regiment carried Reynolds away under a blanket. Buford's aides came to him, back to the shepherd. There were no orders to give. The battle went on without a commander. The men fought where Reynolds had placed them. Buford slowly withdrew his cavalry, as Reynolds had ordered. All the rest of that morning, gray rebel troops came pouring down that narrow road. No messages came. The line continued to hold. There did not seem to be anyone in command, but the line held. After a while, Buford mounted what was left of his cavalry and rode slowly out that road to the north. He could not hold for long, but he could hold for a little while, and the yellow-haired lieutenant was out there alone.